Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I will be reading the entire chapter, so I won't ask you to stand since it's lengthy. Genesis chapter 19. Let us hear it.
Now I think I'm ready. Let us hear it together. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your sight. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, This city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made them drink, and they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father, again, we come to your word. Make it a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Grow us thereby, we pray. And help me now to speak a word in season, a word that would bring you glory and a word that would encourage your people. Hear our cry and hear our plea. Meet with us now in the name and according to the praise of Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. The year was 2001. The time frame was Tuesday, September the 11th. A woman by the name of Marissa, around 8:45 a.m., was sitting in her office talking with two of her colleagues, two co-workers on the 98th floor of the South Tower of the World Trade Center. Little did Marissa know, as she heard an explosion that sounded like fireworks, little did she know that roughly 200 feet away, American Airlines flight number 11 had crashed into the 80th floor of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Marissa, as she sat down with her colleagues, could feel the heat on her face as though someone had swung open an oven door. You probably know how that experience is. You got something baking in the oven and you open it and the heat comes out immediately. So as she was sitting down and had that experience of the heat, Marissa immediately jumped out of her chair, noticing that her colleagues would not leave, would not move. As she arose out of her chair, she did not turn off her computer. She did not grab her purse. She did not go to the rest lounge or the meeting lounge to grab her lunch. She immediately looked for the emergency exit. Her colleagues sat at the desk. One decided she would make a phone call. The other said, "No, we're staying." Marissa could sense that something was wrong, but she did not know what. She made her way to that emergency exit and muscled through 20 flights of stairs. As she made her way to the 78th floor, the fire alarm was going off everywhere, but people were walking as business as usual. Some were saying, "Maybe we should go to the top of the building if there's really a fire." Others said, "We're heading to a meeting. We have a meeting to attend." But Marissa could sense that something was wrong. So when she got to the 78th floor, after muscling through those flights of steps, she decided she would take the elevator. Hundreds of people in the building. She hit the button waiting for the elevator, and there are people crying and people around, but they are kind of frozen stiff, but the alarm is still going off. Marissa entered the elevator. The elevator was completely empty. No one else got on the elevator with her. She went down and she landed in the lobby. As she landed in the lobby, she went out of the door. Minutes later, not only the smoke from the North Tower, but a darkness seemed to be coming. And that darkness that started to come was United Airlines Flight 175 that crashed into the South Tower at the 60th floor. Marissa got out of the building just in time. What I feel to tell you in the story was this. As Marissa made her way to the stairway, she yelled at another colleague to join her. That colleague made her way down the steps a good ways with Marissa. But she decided to look back. She decided, after she looked back, she remembered that she had baby pictures that she wanted to get. So she turned back and head back for those baby pictures. She never made it out of the building. Such is the case when we hear warnings. Sometimes we don't respond immediately. Marissa made it out of the building in the nick of time because she heeded the warning immediately. But her friend, sad to say, did not. She looked back. She turned back. And that little time of turning back cost her life. Such is the case before us. Same type of scenario. We see the lifestyle of the inhabitants of Sodom had long been observed by Almighty God. Little did they know that their lifestyle would lead to destruction. The angels had entered Sodom and warned Lot of the pending judgment. Lot, in turn, warned his sons-in-law of the coming judgment, like the fire alarm in the South Tower, but they wouldn't heed it. Lot himself also was warned again by the angels, urged again by the angels that it's time to leave the city, but he delayed. God, out of great mercy, God, out of great kindness, would lay hold of Lot through the angels, would lay hold of his wife, and would lay hold of his two daughters and bring them out of the city. I'm always struck by that little portion because it seems to me, it speaks to me that God is more ready to deliver than we are to be delivered. There's a lingering. There's a hesitation. There's a delay. But God was merciful to Lot and to his family in bringing them out of the city that would be destroyed, bringing them to some level of safety, and then would give them more instruction. So we come again to fire and mercy, part 3. I usually don't give parts and so forth, but this chapter here is so rich, I don't know where else to go right now. Mercy in the midst of judgment, fire and mercy, part 3. We will see, we'll look at the angel's urgent command and Lot's appeal. We find that in verse 17. The angel's urgent command and lingering Lot's appeal. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad or brought them outside of the city that he said, he signifying the angel or one of the angels speaking on behalf of both. Some think this to be God, but it seems to be that this is one of the angels because the transition would just not make sense, at least to me. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. This is a passionate plea. This is an urgency. Now is the time to flee. Right now, Lot, escape for your life. The words escape for your life literally carry the sense, get yourself to safety right now. It's urgent. There's no time to waste. In other words, save your life. Run, run, run. There's intentional pressure upon the family of Lot. The angels are pressing upon Lot the seriousness of the situation. It's like the Southern Tower. They heard the fire alarm, but people still went to their meetings. They didn't take it seriously. Marissa took it seriously. This is a serious situation, Lot. Lot, we are not playing any games. We are really going to destroy this place. If you want to live, you better get to safety and get to safety now. Time is of the essence. The sins of the people of Sodom had a voice that went up to heaven that said, we do what we want, when we want, and we dare you to do anything to us. God heard that voice, and God will respond. God accepted the challenge, and he's going to do something about it. Judgment is on the way. When the people entered the tower that morning, no one had any idea that a plane would be coming into that building. Not one idea. And the men of Sodom, other than Lot and his sons-in-law, had no idea that judgment will be coming the next morning. They probably partied that night. Some no doubt went to sleep. But come morning, it's going to be a different world. There is immediacy, a right nowness in the angel's plea. Destruction is coming. They said to him, not only escape for your life, get to safety now. They said something else. Look not behind thee. In other words, do not look back. It speaks of not looking back with the intent of pursuing something. Those words, don't look behind you. In light of God's relentless mercy, Lot was to have one thing in mind: escape for your life. Your life is on the line. Lot, you don't have time to run and look in your rearview mirror. Your life is on the line. I told you this before, and I say it again. When I played that sport called football, my coach told me, he said, when you see an opening, you go through it. When you go through that opening, don't look behind you. When you're running down the sideline, don't look behind you. And I like kind of looking behind me so I can see how far I am from the man that's chasing me. But looking behind you tends to slow you down. In other words, if you look behind you and you see you have a good distance, you tend not to run as fast. You tend to hesitate a little bit. The coach said, don't look behind you until you reach your destination, which is the end zone. That's where you get a touchdown. And so, in like manner, the angels are saying to Lot, when you escape for your life, when you run, do not look behind you. You are to keep pressing on. This will distract you. This will hinder you from reaching your destination. That's the second thing they told him. The third thing they said to Lot was, don't stay in the plane. Those words carried a sense of don't linger. Well, Lot was just lingering. Don't linger. Don't stand still. Keep moving. They imply that you are not to let anything stop you. Don't stop for chit chat. Don't stop for body pain. Don't stop because you're weary. You keep moving. Danger, Lot, is before you. When you are faced with danger, you shouldn't let anything stop you to get to safety, of getting to safety. You fight through weariness. You fight through pain in order to get to safety. The thrust here is that life is worth everything. What is it worth to you? Lot? What is your life worth to you? If it's worth anything, you will do whatever it takes to get to safety. Let me see if I could say it a different way. If you value life, if you value life, if it's worth anything, and you are outside of Christ, What's taking you long to get so long to get to safety? What is it? Why would you expose yourself to the danger? And heaven has a dangerous aspect, as we will see. Why would you expose yourself to heaven's danger? If life is valuable to you, why won't you get to safety in Jesus Christ? He's a city of refuge. The angels say a fourth thing. Lot is to escape for his life. Still in verse 17, he is to escape for his life. He is to flee to the mountain, lest he be consumed, swept away. Again, it is escape for your life. Urgency. Lest you be swept away in the punishment or perverseness of the city. But something strange happens. Lot makes an appeal. Let me read verse 17 again. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said, oh, not so. What a response. We brought you out of the city of destruction. And we say, escape for your life. Run. Don't look behind. Don't linger in the plain. Keep moving. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said, not so. Strange response when he has experienced mercy. Lot makes an appeal. He appeals to the angels to let him go somewhere else. You're going to hear me preach to me. You're just going to get to hear it. He responds to the escape plan with a not so. Here is God's escape plan. Not so. In the plan, if you do not escape to the mountain, that's right there in verse 17. If you do not escape to the mountain or the hill, you are going to be consumed. That's the plan. And Lot responds with a not so? No! Not so! Let's see what happened. I find this striking because the angels had a specific further away area in view. In other words, this is the plan so that you can live. This is the plan. So you would not be consumed. However, Lot has a closer place in view. You'll see that in a little bit. Let me just stay right here just for a moment. Isn't it amazing to think that we understand situations and circumstances better than God? That's implied in the text. The mountain, not so. I have a better plan. It is truly amazing that we tend to understand situations and circumstances better than God. All of a sudden, we become omniscient. We know it all. Isn't it amazing to think that we really know what is best for us and God really doesn't? It's absolutely amazing. Maybe I should ask it this way. Isn't it amazing that we are so quick to give God our plans and so slow to take his? Isn't that amazing? Here's my plan, Lord. This is what I have for my future. This is all the things I have. I'm going to pray these things to you. Here's my plan. Lot had a different plan. Isn't it amazing? You will notice that Lot pleads his plan. Watch verse 19. He said, behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Notice the basis of Lot's plan. Lot actually pleads the mercy of God for his plan. You have showed me mercy. I have another plan. It's in the book. You have shown me favor and you have magnified your mercy. You have made your mercy great toward me. You have shown me compassionate pity. You have lifted your mercy high toward me. I have another plan. I have another plan. He acknowledges that you have shown mercy in saving my life, but I have a plan. Sometimes I can't even chuckle because you can't help but see yourself sometimes in these pictures. I cannot escape to the mountain. He didn't just say, not so, but he said, I cannot escape to the mountain. Wow. You said that to God's messengers who brought you out of the city when you were lingering. And you said, I cannot escape to them. Not so. I cannot. Well, listen to the reason he gave. It's an interesting one. I cannot escape to the mountain. Why? Lest something bad happen to me and I die. They just said, if you escape to the mountain, you won't be consumed. But Lot said, I cannot escape to the mountain lest something bad happens to me and I die. What irony. This is amazing. Lot said, I have a better plan. Let me tell you about my plan. He's going to tell him, I have a plan and I have it mapped out. I'm going to give you my 401k retirement plan and I'm going to give it to you. God, put your stamp of approval on it. I'm going to give it to you in a moment. Lot pleads for a place in close proximity. Still close to Sodom. That's verse 20. I can't go to the mountain. I can't escape there. I know that's what you said. But I cannot escape there. You know, I understand the geography here. I can't escape there. Some evil is going to happen to me and then I'm going to die. Behold now, I got an idea. This city is near to flee unto and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one and my soul shall live? He petitions to escape to the little city nearby so that he would be safe. In other words, the original plan isn't good enough. You're going to see more mercy in this text. God could have just said, okay, stay here and die. That's not what happened. We find my second point, the appeal accepted in a double mercy. The appeal accepted in a double mercy. We find it right there in verse 21 and 22. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Flee to the mountain. Not so. I actually have a better plan. There's a little city. Isn't it a little one? It's a little city. Let me flee there and I'll live. The angel accepted Lot's appeal and said the city to which he referred would not be overthrown. Look at it in the text. He said, behold, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Those words imply that that city was part of the destruction. This city called Zoar or Zoar is located at the southeast end of the Dead Sea. It was also going to be destroyed. I won't destroy that city to what you're talking about. Furthermore, the angel then again urged Lot again. Verse 22, haste thee, flee, run, escape there. I really want to stop. They urge Lot again to make haste. That is, get yourself in a hurry and escape. Not only does he hear his appeal and give him an opportunity to escape. Watch the text. He awaits till you arise. He said, see, I have accepted you. I will not overthrow that city for which you have spoken. Then verse 22. Haste, escape, another urgency, for I cannot do anything until thou become thither. I'm not going to do anything until you get there. What mercy! What mercy! I'm not even going to bother that place. I hope you see why I call it a double mercy. I call it a double mercy because God did not only spare Lot, God also spared Zoar and the inhabitants of the city. It's a double mercy. I accept your plan, and I'm going to wait until you get there. I'm going to grant your appeal and let you escape to that little city, and I will not do anything until you arrive. We probably could just think about that just in the spiritual fashion, shall we not? We know God is going to destroy everything one day, but guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to destroy everything until all his people arrive to safety. And that's mercy. That's mercy. God spared Lot, and God also would spare Zoar. Going to grant your appeal, I'm going to let you escape to that little city, and I will not do anything until you get there. We have some dear friends, dear brethren, that we visit from time to time. And they have this long driveway. You got to drive up it to get to the house. And when we would leave, because it's clear on both sides with a few trees, so you could see the road from the house. When we would leave, they would stand out in the yard and watch us drive down that long driveway, get on the road until we're out of sight. We would beep the horn when we're on the road as we're going down. But they would stand in the yard and watch till we get out of sight. And our practice, when we get home, which is usually a few hours, we would call them up and say, made it home safely. I wonder if when the angels said to Lot, flee, make haste, I can't do anything until you get there. I wonder if they just stood and kind of watched until he entered the city, if they could see the city, or watch until Lot was out of sight, because Lot could not send a text message and say, I have arrived. I wonder if they just stood there and never took their eyes off of Lot, making sure, I want to make sure he gets to safety. It could be. I don't know. But one thing we do know is that they did not do anything until Lot made it to the city. Maybe he sent up a smoke sign. That was the signal that they were there. I have no idea, but the fact that Lot arrived at Zoar is a mercy. Seems on one hand, I don't know if we would call it a fight or what we would call it. He lingered, and they said, we're taking you out of this city. We have a plan. Lot said, no, I'm not going with that. Okay. Man, what's wrong with this guy? He's not listening to anything. What's wrong with him? Well, probably can say the same thing about me. I have a plan to go to another city. Okay, go. We won't do anything until you get there. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee. Verse 21, make haste and escape. That's our word again. Therefore, the name of that city is called Zoar, insignificant, just a little city. Then verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Third, Lot's escape and his wife's self-destruction. Lot's escape and his wife's self-destruction. So Lot made it to Zoar when the sun was risen, verse 23 tells us. When Lot entered into Zoar, verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, fire and brimstone from the Lord out of heaven. Brimstone then is literally a stone that burns. Literally a stone that burns. But it's referred to as sulfur. Sulfur, which is deadly to human beings in a large amount. It can cause shortness of breath, tightening of the chest, mixed actually with rain. It can turn into what we would call acid rain, which would destroy vegetation. That's what some scholars think. Regardless of what it actually would turn into. That's not the point. The mixture would end up being. The point is that God would reduce the cities and everything around to ashes. No one would live there anymore, and nothing would grow there anymore. He sent the warning. Some wouldn't hear it. He pulled Lot out as an act of mercy. But please notice in verse 24 where the brimstone and fire came from. Heaven. Heaven. That's the same place the mercy came from. Heaven. Judgment and mercy. From the same place. God warned Israel that if they forsook his law, the whole land would become brimstone and salt and burning that is not sown, nor beareth, nor groweth grass therein, like the overthrow of Sodom. God said, listen, if you forsake my covenant, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring down brimstone. I'm going to turn the land, if I can say it this way, the land into the same way I did with Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around. Revelation chapter 20 describes the lake of fire as a place of fire and brimstone, which the wicked shall be cast. The text then in Genesis, to me, implies that God not only sends people to the lake of fire, he can bring the lake of fire to them. Fire and brimstone. His wife's self-destruction. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain like he said he would. And all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground, we should never take God's warning lightly. I said last time in the message, I'll say again today, God's clock and our watches are not in sync. God works on heaven's clock, not on earth's timetable. And God has a way of doing things in unexpected ways. Sometimes it's surprising. You don't know when it's coming. God remembers when we have long forgotten. They had no idea that night would be their last night. No idea at all. And you and I don't know when our night will be the last night. We have that Lot's wife. We have a but in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife has not said anything in the whole story. We don't even know her name. Can I just call her Mrs. Lot? Mrs. Lot hadn't said anything in the whole story. She hasn't given any activity in the whole story. Now we have. She looked back. She heard the command from the angel in verse 17, not to look back. She heard it. However, she did and became a pillar of salt. Some believe she was coated over with salt. I have to tell you, I don't know. All I know is that she turned back. She looked back and became something that she wasn't before. Maybe. One thing we know, Lot did not look back. And his daughters did not look back. I don't know if he was running saying, "Sweetheart, are you there? Sweetheart, are you there? Mommy, are you mommy, are you there? Mommy, are you there?" And maybe Lot was crying while he was running, saying, "Whatever, even if we don't hear mommy, don't look back." Maybe. I don't know. But a wife looked back. A mama looked back. And that was her last look. There are all kinds of speculations as to why she looked back. Some say maybe she was from Sodom and had family there. We know she had two sons-in-law. Don't know. The scriptures never tell us where Lot got his wife from. He may have had his wife when he came over with Abraham out of Ur or Haran. But who knows? Some think she probably looked back because her heart and affection were so attached to Sodom that she did not want to leave. That could be it. That could be it. It doesn't tell us why she looked back, only that she looked back. So we don't know per se why she looked back. However, I think Jesus gives us a little insight into what the issue may be. And speaking of his return, Luke chapter 17, he said, "Likewise, after giving the example of Noah and talking about his unexpected," it's expected, but it's unexpected to us. It's surprising to us because we don't know when. "After telling about Noah and how they lived in Noah's day, describing how his return would be, he said this pertaining to Lot. He said, 'Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife? It could be, according to Jesus, that she was thinking about her stuff. He said, let them not return to the house for their stuff. Likewise, those in the field, let them not go back to the house. Remember Lot's wife. That could be. Maybe she was thinking about that fine china she got from grandma. I need to go back and get that. Maybe she was like Marissa's friend. I have baby pictures. I need to go back and get my stuff. Maybe she had a collection of other things. Maybe it was her fine garden that she had. I don't know. But Jesus seems to be pointing to possession. Don't go back and get your possession. Remember Lot's wife. Maybe that was her concern. Another thing to note is that this, Lot's wife almost made it. She was brought out of the city. That's one mercy. She was instructed to flee for her life. And she began to run, and she almost made it. Almost. She made it out of the city of destruction, but she never made it to the city of safety. She did not take advantage of the mercy God showed in bringing her out of Sodom. You will notice she had the same opportunities. Maybe I can put it this way. She had the same opportunities that Lot had. She heard the same warnings that destruction was coming. She felt the same mercy when the angels laid hold of her hands. She heard the same command to escape for her life. She heard the command not to stop in the plane. She heard the angel when he said, I will not do anything until you arrive safely. She heard it. She heard the command, don't look back. She heard it. She had the same opportunities that Lot had. Because she refused to heed the warning, it cost her everything. Everything. How about us? We have the same opportunity that everyone had. This book right here is everywhere in our country. We all have the same opportunity to read it. Listen, we have the same opportunity to hear sermons. Anyone have an internet connection could listen to sermons all day long. We have the same privilege. We have the same privilege or opportunity to pray. We have it all. There are no excuses. But are we heeding? Or are we like Lot's wife? All these privileges. She almost made it. Almost. You probably recall that account in Pilgrim's Progress when ignorance said, you know, I pay my tithes and I go to church. When Christian and Hopeful would ask him all of these questions. And you remember how he came? He came by a boat, vain hope, bring him by a boat so he could travel through the river of death, what we would call it. And as he got to the door and he began to knock on the door, he's at the door of heaven. And he knocks and someone comes out to him and they say, where's your certificate? And he starts fumbling around for the certificate, and the king would not even see him. You don't have a certificate. Oh, go and bind him hand and feet and cast him into outer darkness. And Bunyan said, and I saw in my dream at the very gate, the very door of heaven, there's a way to hell. He almost made it. Almost. Lot's wife had great privileges. Lot's wife had great advantages. Lot's wife had a lot going on. Lot's wife had the opportunity to escape, and she didn't take advantage of it. She experienced some of the mercy of God. It's scary in the passage because it lets me know that you can experience levels of God's mercy and still not make it. It cost her everything. Lot will escape and make it safely to Zoar. Make it safely, if we would call it, to the city of safety. Oh, my friends, we can say the same thing about us. If we're honest, we can say the same thing about us. Oh, when God was laying, when God was giving us warning, we just didn't respond quickly. We just wasn't quick to say yes. And sometimes you can warn others. That's what preachers have to be careful of. Because Lot went out and warned his sons-in-law immediately. And preachers could warn and not receive the warning themselves. Lot was slow when the warning came to him. He was fast when the warning was to go to his sons-in-law. He didn't waste any time. But when it came to him, he lingered. He delayed. If we're honest, we could see at some point in our lives, we weren't always fast. There was a lingering going on. And then mercy came down and laid a hold of us. God was ready, as I said earlier, to deliver quicker than we wanted to be delivered. To bring us out to safety. And he still tells us this very day, keep running. Keep running. Run till we get the glory, because we've already ran to the city of refuge in Jesus Christ. That's the safe place. He laid a hold of us by his mercy and brought us to his son so that we could be safe. He didn't do that because we deserved it. He did it because he's rich in mercy. He would lay a hold of us who are converted in spite of us. We had all kinds of plans. We make all kinds of excuses, just like Lot. I got a better plan, Lord. I got a better idea. It's amazing that the angels actually comply. That's amazing. That's a mercy in the passage. Sure, go ahead. We'll wait until you get there. They not only go ahead, but we'll wait until you get there. What? Heaven waiting on me? Sometimes church folk don't know when to shout. We were lingering, and God reached down to us and laid a hold on us and brought us to a place of safety in spite of us. He showed us Jesus Christ. He showed us the bloodstained banner. He showed us the loveliness of the cross. Our foolishness, we should have been swallowed away. We should have died a long time ago. We should have never saw the light of mercy. But he showed it anyways. He came to us anyways. He led us out anyways. He put up with all of our excuse making anyways. We could remember probably friends that didn't make it. You probably said, why me? I ask that all the time. Lord, why me? Friends that heard the same warning. We didn't lay a hold of them. Why would you lay a hold of me? God laid a hold through the angels. Four people out of all of Sodom. Out of all of Sodom, just four people. And three made it. But just three. One decided to look back. Oh, time is gone. We need a new clock. He brought us to himself out of mercy when you and I deserve nothing but judgment.
Sometimes I wonder if we believe that. I wonder if we truly believe that we actually deserve the love of God, deserve the mercy of God, if we actually deserve heaven itself, if we actually deserve Jesus Christ, if we actually deserve for blood to cleanse us, if we actually deserve these things. Sometimes I wonder if we believe that.
No, my friends, we probably all can shout together, I don't deserve it, but I'm glad you showed it. I'm sure glad you showed it. And when I think highly of myself, when I think highly of myself as though I deserve it, kind of clip my wings and bring me back down to reality.
Let me continue to say, of your mercy, because they endure forever.
Well, let me close with this. We'll stop here. There's a portion in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress where evangelist is talking to a man who later became known as Christian. He's talking to him about his condition. And he said, you see there yonder wicked gate? He said, no. He said, you see there shining light? He said, I think I do. He said, follow it. Follow it. Follow it, and then you will see the door. And when you get to the door, just knock on the door and it'll be open up to you and you will be told what to do. Well, the soon-to-be Christian began to run. And his wife started crying after him, stop and return. His children started crying after him, stop and return. Neighbors were crying after him, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he kept running and crying, life, life, eternal life. And he didn't look back. Oh, my friends, Lot's wife did not do that. But if you are converted, it's because you saw yonder light and you came to the door and you cried life, life, eternal life. And when you saw the cross, like Christian, the burden fell off because it fell on Jesus. There's this idea. There should be a fleeing always to Jesus Christ. When we fall down, we get up. And when we get up, we look up upon him yet again. Those outside of Jesus Christ, oh, be like our friend, the soon-to-be Christian. He flew, ran, fled to the light and knocked on the door, and he cried, life, life, eternal life. You should say the same. Don't let anything stop you. If life is valuable, and it is, if life is worth having, and it is, we should do everything in our strength to get to safety. And that safety is in Jesus Christ. God brought fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but God also brought mercy upon Lot. May we rejoice in the great fact that God still shows mercy, even though we don't deserve one drop of it. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your kindness to us, your mercy, we thank you that in the midst of judgment, you still show mercy. And Father, even this very day, you are still showing mercy. You don't have to, but you delight to. And we thank you for doing it. Help us, Father, to remember those mercies which are new to us every morning. Thank you that you are faithful. Hear our prayer. Bless and encourage your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Amen. God be with you till we meet again.